Bobby Karen, Honey Masu, Trina Nadura, Andre Lewis, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Nogueira, and Paul Huckabee, our engineer. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby, Miriam Barnard, Aaron Dooley, Hugh Grant. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
KABU Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KABU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Community Advisory Board will meet on Tuesday, November 15th at 5:30 p.m.
KABU Community Radio is proud to sponsor People's Health Clinic Benefit Party, Saturday, November 12th at 7 p.m. at the Social Justice Action Center in Portland. People's Health Clinic is a volunteer-run clinic that hosts a walk-in at Sisters of the Road every third Friday of the month. Services include naturopathic medicine, acupuncture, massage, herbalism, and more. This party will feature live music, an herbal cocktail bar, food, raffles, and more. Again, that's People's Health Clinic Benefit Party, Saturday, November 12th at 7 p.m. at the Social Justice Action Center, 400 Southeast 12th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kabu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KABU program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Tom Dwyer Automotive Services, a full-service automotive shop located next to Portland's Selwood Bridge for over 30 years. They're a Blue Seal certified shop committed to client care and community support. Information on their eco certification, client carbon neutral program, courtesy shuttle, rentals, and more at tomdwyer.com or by calling 503-230-2300.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's election day.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't even keep up the joke. Yeah. It's election day. Yeah. You're not wearing a pantsuit. Should I read anything into that?
Pantsuit?
Never mind.
Getting into a cross-dressing conversation? Weird thing?
Have you heard of this thing called the internet?
No.
Okay. Never mind that.
What would pantsuits have to do with the internet?
I'm just going to leave you in suspense.
Okay, I can live with that.
Good morning, everyone.
Everyone.
This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio program on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial at long last. It is over.
No. If Trump loses, which is possible, quite possible, he's going to sue.
Likely, even.
He's going to sue.
Well, I'm not worried about that. I could care less about that.
I am.
Of all the possible permutations of a Trump loss,
yes,
a lawsuit is the least of my fears.
What is the greatest of your fears?
An armed reactionary insurgency.
That's not so likely. I don't know. I mean, I don't think we got a government that runs MRAPs to attack Native Americans who are fighting to save us all from the destruction of our water supply.
Yeah, that very same government who does nothing when armed white men take over a federal installation and then acquits them when they're on trial for it.
Well, it was an overreach. Seriously, I mean, the whole way the federal government approached it was just...
I don't want to get sidetracked into that.
All right, no sidetracks.
I merely mean to point out,
yes,
that the possibility of an armed reactionary response to a Trump defeat is entirely possible.
Yes.
And might even be condoned by certain sections of government in certain regions of the country. If not condoned, then not actively suppressed.
I don't agree.
All right.
I think that whatever the government is or isn't, whether it's left or extremely right or center right, which is what I think it is, if fundamentally it's got the power. It'll smash. It'll smash. It doesn't matter whether it comes from the left or the right, unless it's a really vast conspiracy. They don't want to share power, and it doesn't have to do with ideology. It has to do with sharing power.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you believe that Secretary Clinton is going to prevail in the presidential race today?
Well, I have no, there's no really great data source. I can't believe. Of course, I can't believe any of this. I can't believe that a fascist pig who is ignorant on every level about everything having to do with the governance of this country, who is a thief and a petty criminal in every way and a major criminal in other ways, could actually rise to the position of being one of the two candidates of the two major parties and then to be within stone's throw of the presidency. Even though I know it's true, I have trouble believing it.
Yeah, it is all a bit surreal, isn't it?
It's very strange.
All right. So 503-231-8187 is the number to call today. We'd love to hear your take on the outcome of today's, what's appropriate euphemism?
Great closing.
Today's great closing?
Yeah. No, I would like to hear, I would like to hear from some rational voices of people who really feel that Trump would be the best choice for president of the United States. Not to criticize Hillary, it's pointless, but to show how they see this guy as an enlightened leader of a great democracy.
I think you just contradicted yourself.
What do you mean?
I don't believe there are any rational voices who believe Trump would make a better president of the United States.
Well, that's a challenge to you folks out there.
Let's go to the phones. Nope. Do we have nobody?
See, nobody's calling.
I thought we had somebody. Spring, good morning.
You do.
Hey.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm not the caller that Joe was just asking about.
I didn't think you were.
And really, you for not being that
Spring,
caller.
And I am a committed member and committed to freedom and the rights of those of us alive.
Okay.
So, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm certainly hoping that everything I voted for will get it, and the world might begin to be a little bit better. We've got some great ballot initiatives going on here. I helped my mom vote just because, the initiatives can be a little confusing, and she's going to be 100 in April.
Oh, congratulations.
She's doing very well, thanks. And, our friend Antonio's doing well, too. Anyway, I love KBOO. I love everything you do. Keep it coming, and power to the people. Power to the people.
Okay.
Thank you.
Power
thank
to
you
the people. Call. Right arm.
Yeah.
Right arm. Arm and hammer.
Hey, thank you for the call, Spring.
That's cool.
Yeah, but you, Joe, you just said a second ago that people don't have any power. It's a good one.
Is that what I said?
That's what you
said. I don't listen to what I say. Nobody should listen to what I say. Let me say this, though, and seriously. We have a system which is not a true democracy. It is structured to not be that. The founding fathers, remember, there were no mothers. There were no people of color. There were no people who didn't own stuff. The founding fathers made a progressive move toward a republic, which was a hell of an improvement over the old English system. But what it also was a way, the only way it would pass, was a way of maintaining the power of the landed gentry and the economic upper class merchants. And as a consequence of that, we had a system that really blocked direct democracy. And gradually we've peeled some elements of that away. In 1900, we actually did away with through a constitutional amendment, we did away with the process that allowed senators, U.S. senators, to be selected by state legislatures. Now, even today, if you look at the state legislature, it's a gaggy thing. It's a nauseating event in most states.
Yeah.
And, Oregon's probably better than a lot of them, but in most states. And I think that we have made progress through time, but all the progress is really a danger when you suddenly find that one of the two major parties cannot block or actually supports a fascist. And I'm tired of this, being nice about it. We have one candidate who is a fascist. We have another candidate who's a neocon and hopefully will prove to be more of a liberal than I'm afraid she is. However, this is a really a dreadful election. We need parties in a full spectrum from the right to the left. Mm-hmm. We need that desperately. And we need direct elections.
Yeah. I would agree with everything you just said. But rewinding a few minutes, I disagree with the statement you said earlier. You said there's no good sources of data. There's all kinds of good sources of data.
I exaggerated. I will admit I exaggerated.
This internet thing I mentioned to you earlier, you really might want to check it out.
You think I really don't?
I have my doubts.
Okay.
538.
You got push buttons and things?
538.com, which is Nate Silver's blog.
Very good blog.
The former in-house statistician for the New York Times. Guy knows his stuff.
Yeah.
Right now, depending upon the particular model that they run, they're looking at Clinton's odds of winning the presidency at about anywhere from about 71 to 72%.
That's meaningless. The odds on winning the presidency, I don't quite follow the math of that. It's the likelihood, I suppose. But here's what I think. I think there are a lot of people listening to our show right now.
Well, that's what odds are, Joe. The likelihood that a certain outcome will, in fact, transpire.
Oh, poo.
Those are the odds.
Poo. I just want to say it's all in the hands of voters everywhere. And anyone who's listening.
Or is it?
Well, don't give me that. I don't have time for paranoia.
No, I'm serious. We already know that the Trump campaign itself, the candidate himself, has instructed his followers, and I'm making air quotes now, to go supervise polling places to make sure everything is okay.
Right.
And I suspect that most of the supervision is going to take place at heavily Democratic polling places, where a lot of non-white folks go to vote. And I'm also willing to speculate that perhaps some of these observers sent unofficially by the Trump campaign, you know, may decide to bring along their guns. I'm not exaggerating this, Joe.
No, I know you're not exaggerating it. Why I sighed was not to disagree with you, but to realize that we have really gotten to a weird place politically.
And that's my point.
And there's another thing that really bothers me a lot. When you have a state initiative like I think it was 97 here in Oregon, which would put some burden on out-of-state corporations, and really kind of a simple thing, the $27 million, I believe, maybe more, has been poured into that campaign by the wealthy and by the large corporations outside of the state as well as couple in the state, to defeat that measure, to create confusion, and to make sure that that measure doesn't pass. And yet, it is a very reasonable measure, which has a very light impact upon those corporations, relatively speaking.
Yeah, indeed.
So, you know, when stuff like that goes down, apparently you can't have a constitutional requirement that people be honest.
No, you really can't.
You can't.
Yeah.
So you get liars.
Yeah,
with lots of money.
Yeah, it's the threat of a good example. Even though the impact on these corporations is going to be quite minor, as you say, nevertheless, they don't want this example to stand.
Right, they don't want the door open.
They don't want the door open even a little bit. So getting back to the 538 model we were just talking about,
right?
The model that puts Clinton's probability of victory at 71.4%. This shows her carrying 302 electoral votes to Trump's 236.
That it should be that close is weird.
The electoral system is, the electoral college is dumb.
It's weird.
It's dumb. I'm
going to repeat again the obvious. If you have not yet voted, you have till 8 o'clock to go down. You have to now go down to the voting office. Here in the Southeast, and you have to do your ballot there, and you should do it. Now, there's a lot of people saying, "Well, you know, we don't have enough parties."
No, you don't have to go to election headquarters at this point.
You don't?
No.
What can you do?
I'm going to keep talking. I'm going to.
You're going to find a way.
Refer people.
Okay.
To where they can go.
Okay. And meanwhile, and here's the reality. This election, unlike most elections in my experience, and I've been around a while, is the most bizarre. because what has happened is that the desperation for power that has animated the Republican Party in recent years with no moral base whatsoever we've seen it, the Republican Party has eaten itself. And unless some horrible magic takes place and Trump ends up president, they're going to have to rebuild the party.
Yeah.
And that's weird.
Yeah. What I think the big takeaway from that is that that Trumpism, meaning the recent restoration of open and overt racism and xenophobia that he has mm-hmm. tapped into, that will survive him.
Oh, yeah. No, and I think we've moved into, I have been saying this a lot, and people probably find it a little boring, but I'll say it once again. This is late-stage capitalism, and that means it's early-stage fascism.
Again, you're mixing and matching political and economic systems.
No, I'm not.
There you are.
No, I'm not.
But
They're not separate.
Okay, so you have up till 8 p.m. tonight to turn in your ballot. You can do so at an official county electoral headquarters here in Multnomah County. That's on Southeast Morrison Street.
That's what I said.
Yes, but you said, you implied that was the only place you can do it.
Oh.
There are a number of official ballot drop box locations, and the Oregon Secretary of State has an interactive map online where you can find those. That's at sos.oregon.gov.
sos.oregon.gov?
That's right.
I hope people do that. I really think people need to participate. This is a very, very serious threat to our democracy. It's not like Republicans and Democrats in our traditional mindset. This is like crazy fascist person, sexist, racist, all the baddie things, and stupid.
Yep.
I mean, you don't get a better combination to vote against.
It's him. It's him, and it's everyone who supports him.
Including a huge number of opportunists. But we're not allowed to advocate for one candidate or another. So, never mind.
Let's go to the phones. Brian, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
All right.
So, listen, you know what? I'm not here to rail against you or any...
Oh, good. I don't like rails.
I know. I'm not going to rail. that's train stuff. So listen, you know, the thing is this gives us the chance, and if we, and I think if influential people like yourselves and...
I don't think we're influential,
think
but thank you.
I think you're pretty darn influential. You have a radio show. I mean, that's part of the responsibility, you know, that you take when you put your voice on the air.
Oh, dear.
You are influential. You're influencing on some level, but let's not argue about that. But the point I'm saying is I agree with everything you said this morning. Is how did we get to this point?
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is we are, quote, a progressive society. We're supposed to be the most powerful country in the world, et cetera, et cetera. And look at us. I mean, you know, I think if more pundits on the radio would just sit there and say, look at us, because Donald Trump is a criminal. Donald Trump could be in jail.
Oh, wait, Hillary's supposed to be in jail. You're getting confused.
In jail.
In jail.
George Bush could be in jail.
Well, there's a lot of opportunities, given the kind of people we have as politicians in the at the national level, for jailing.
Right, and I'm not talking about, you know, not paying a contractor. You know, I mean, in George Bush's case, you know, he's responsible for the murder of a lot of people, and so was Dick Cheney. Mm-hmm. The point I'm trying to make is, if you go back to Jimmy Carter, and that's a long way back for a lot of people, but if Jimmy Carter would have went through the White House
mm-hmm.
and arrested or taken away the option of these people doing public service for the rest of their life, we arguably would not be in this position today. But the point is what we've done, we've become so cynical in this country, and let me just say this, that what we've done is we're saying, if you can get, we're a nation of laws, get around them.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's not, and I know I'm not crazy. I know that. So I did.
Wait a minute. How can you know that? How do you know?
Well, you know, I'm a little crazy. But
okay.
I'm calling.
Well,
you
gave up easy there.
I'm listening to KBOO. But listen, the point is, the point I'm trying to make is,
yeah,
I grew up. Yeah, we're a nation of laws. Follow them. Okay. And you know, these days, okay, there's two points I want to make. We're arguing, for example, you know, whether we should have art in the schools, which is totally away from what we're doing right here. But what we should be arguing about is not if we have art in the schools, is do we have enough art in the schools? I mean, or are we, you know, I mean, particulars. We're not talking about putting a park bench in the park. We're talking about having a park at all. The bottom line goes like this. It's affecting us all, and there are people, thousands and thousands of people in the United States suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we're sitting here talking to, basically, we're trying to have a discussion with criminals, which is very similar analogy to a bunch of prisoners trying to discuss things with their prison guards who are not going to change, you know. And we can go back, you know, to the Nazi era and all that and say, you know, there was a group, you know, there were groups of prisoners who would be, you know, detailed to speak to the Nazis and try and deal with their, you know, issues. Well, that, I mean, you know, what good did it do? But the bottom line goes like this, is like we're making deals with criminals on a daily basis now. And look at Charlie Hales. You know, I mean, you know, look what's happened. That's
wait a minute. Are you saying the mayor is a criminal?
Sure, he is. I mean, look what he's doing. I mean, you know, just look at the condition of our city in the last 4 years, and look and listen to Joanne Hardesty, and listen to how he's enforcing his way, you know, with the police department, you know, on the public. He's forcing everything on us here in Portland. You know, we've changed considerably since he's come in. You know, I've been here 7 years, and the past 4 years have been, you know, a complete change from the 3 years previous to that. I'm just saying that we're trying to negotiate with criminals. And my last point is this, is if everybody will stand back and look at Honduras, and look at El Salvador, okay, and look at, you know, places like Iraq, we are the ones who did that. And if you look at who in our society did that, they could do the same thing to us, meaning that there can be fighting in Des Moines and there could be peace in Burns. And that's what I'm saying. You know, and you know what? The only people who would be worried about it would be the people in Des Moines. You know, and you know, the thing is our country hasn't even seen the wreck it could be.
Okay, well, you've cheered us up immensely.
What I wanted to make a point is our responsibility is, I mean, I think my responsibility and your responsibility is to make us look at ourselves. And look what we're becoming when we've allowed this to happen.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
And again, I'm going to say again something I said earlier today, and I'm going to say it a lot. If you haven't voted, ignore my coughing and go and vote.
Speaking of criminality, let's not forget that Mr. Trump has a court date in December for the alleged child rape.
What?
This has not been widely reported.
No, I didn't know this.
No,
what?
It's all over a number of reputable news sites.
Reputable news sites.
Google it.
Okay.
He has a court date in December. For alleged...
What did he allegedly do?
Well, I just said, alleged child rape.
Well, can you guess...
You know, an underage. Allegedly, he went to one of Jeffrey Epstein's notorious sex parties in New York.
I don't even know who Jeffrey Epstein is.
Yeah. If you're interested in learning more about this, you can Google it.
I'll Google it.
Yeah. So, a pending court date...
Hopefully it won't matter, so I won't Google it.
Child rape.
Okay.
Probably hasn't been reported because clearly it's not as important as some mishandled emails. Clearly. 503-231-8187. Before we go to our next caller, I just want to throw this out there. I'm not the hugest fan of Hillary Clinton. I think if you've been listening to this show for any length of time, you know that's the case.
Yeah.
I would wager the same is true for you. Nor are we particular fans of the Democratic Party, writ large. But I have to confess, as we're sitting here on the precipice and the possibility of a freely elected woman president.
It's kind of cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hard not to feel the gravity of that. It's hard not to feel the majesty of that. Maybe she's not the woman president that a lot of people would have wanted. But nevertheless, it's quite a remarkable thing when you view it from this close.
Well, you know, it's remarkable, and it's interesting because the issues of innies and outies in American power relations are so obvious. The treatment of women as objects and as owned property has been a daunting reality in our society forever and ever. So, you know, starting, as I pointed out earlier, with the creation of the country itself.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phones. Sheila, good morning.
Yeah, hi. Well, I have to disagree with you, Joe. I don't think Trump is stupid at all. I think he's ignorant, but I think he is brilliant in how he can manipulate people. So, you know, and I think Hillary missed the boat in not really paying attention to what he was doing because, you know, she appeals to intellect. He appeals to the emotion. And I think emotions are stronger than intellect when it comes to swaying people.
Mm. And I would agree with that.
And that's what he did.
Well,
He is not stupid. I think he is brilliant in his criminality. You know, I think he is a brilliant, vicious man, but he's not stupid.
Yeah, I agree. I think he started or he picked up this birther controversy ball regarding President Obama because he knew it would sell. He knew it would sell with the conservative base.
Well, and I think there's several things that are. By the way, I don't disagree with you exactly. I'm not in a position to measure the intellect of Trump. I can say without any doubt in my own mind that he's ignorant. Now, whether what his intellect is, I have no idea. I also know that he builds terribly ugly buildings. I can make those judgments, right? And that he doesn't pay his workers well, and that he messes over his contractors, and that he buys his steel primarily from a rival nation, and so on and so forth. But what really is important, and I think is something that needs to be addressed, is that a vast number of Americans feel, and in many cases are, cut out of the system. When we made a transition, which was mostly designed by the liberal capitalists, when we made a system which internationalized the economic structure and essentially disempowered and disconnected American labor unions and a lot of many other powerful elements of our sort of balanced system dating from the 1930s and 40s, when we did that, we set ourselves up for a lot of anger. And most people do not have a good economic analysis. The schools don't teach it. We don't learn it. We have, therefore, a tendency to look for the bad guy, the secret bad guy. And I run into, because I talk with a lot of people, just ordinary folks here and there, a tremendous sense of a vast conspiracy against America and democracy. None of it rooted in reality and none of it specific enough to be attacked reasonably. So we're really in a place where people are paranoid, where people are frightened, and where in reality a lot of people are unable to make the nut. So this is a tragic and compromising situation that is being played by the alternate right. And who knows where that can go?
Well, he knew exactly how to play it. He knew exactly how to play it. That's why I said he's a scheming, vicious. I can't even find the words for him, and I'm terrified that he might get this election. I mean, yes, America will never be the same as he says, but we won't like the way it changes.
Okay, I'm really glad for your call, and I have to say that it is probably the scariest election in my memory. But, you know, I've seen some scary ones in my time. I'm old enough to remember when I'm old enough to remember when Barry Goldwater was.
Hey, I'm older than you, and I don't remember anything.
Hey, I'm older than you. Listen, thank you very much for the call.
Okay.
All right. Pear writes into the Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AbeandJoe to say, Joe, in the past you've talked about friendly fascism. Can this be applied to Hillary Clinton?
The short answer is yeah, it could be applied to Hillary Clinton, but I don't think her path requires the kind of oppression Although, who knows? The kind of oppression and the kind of disengagement of all the people that is, I believe, clearly implied in the alternate right.
Okay. Tara also writes into the Facebook page, facebook.com/HeyButJoe, saying, "Damn, Joe, tell it like it is. I love it."
Okay, thank you.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Caroline, good morning.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Oh, my gosh. I've been eating wasabi peas while I've been on hold. Wow. Great.
I have never before heard that on this radio program.
Pretty awesome. So, anyways, about the Measure 97, I think it's really important to vote yes. I think the corporations are playing on a false fear tactic, saying it's a sales tax on Oregonians. And that's false. Of course, we all know it's a 20. It's only a 2% tax on corporations grossing over $25 million in sales.
Right.
And they're saying, well, this is going to increase the prices for the consumers. But that's bull, because if they're being taxed on the amount of money they get from sales, the more they raise their prices, the higher their taxes go. So it's just absolutely ludicrous. They're not going to keep raising taxes because they have a 2% tax on their sales. Because if they raise the cost of the item they're selling, the amount of taxes they have to pay on that item increases as well. So, and also they're not going to stay competitive. This is not a monopoly. And if they have a monopoly in the state to where they're raising prices affects people, then that's something we also need to address, because we don't need monopolies here in Oregon. We need a competitive market.
Yes,
agreed.
So please vote yes on 97. They're not going to raise the sale prices on people's consumer items or agriculture items. And if they do, it will bite them because it increases their own taxes.
Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
I don't actually have any way of knowing, and I don't think there's a way of knowing, but I certainly don't have a way of knowing how many people have already made their decisions on the ballot. You know, how many people are last-minute voters? Because we have a system that's so user-friendly, which I appreciate.
I do, too.
I think that we have fewer people suddenly at the last minute rushing down to cast a ballot. I mean, I can remember the old days when you had to go in person, stand in line, say hello to a neighbor who was supervising the balloting process. I kind of liked it, but it was not as efficient.
John writes in with an update on the child rape allegations for Donald Trump. Apparently, the woman who brought those charges has dropped them for reasons that remain unknown at this point. The Independent of London claims it's because of repeated threats against her person. And another news outlet speculates that perhaps it was dropped because there was no case there. Yet another suggests that perhaps Trump bought her off. So we really don't know at this point.
This is the first I heard
but
of this.
We do know that as of a few days ago, there was a court date scheduled in New York in December for Mr. Trump to appear. This is an addition, by the way, to his November 28th court date about his Trump University fraud case.
Now, see, that one I know, and that one I'm pretty clear about, and I don't understand how he can escape consequence in that one.
Well, clearly, again, it's not as important as some mishandled emails. Let's go back to the phones. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. Let's start with some humor.
Oh, please. Okay.
Okay, I saw a cartoon yesterday. A guy with a white robe and a beard and long hair is walking around with a sign going that says the end is near.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple is walking past him, and the guy says to the gal, "Good, I can't wait for this election to be over."
Okay.
Anyways, I enjoyed a little humor yesterday, because what are you going to do in an election like this?
Okay.
Anyways, the main thing I want to talk about is there's an article that I saw yesterday, the day before, by a guy named Jonathan Haidt, H-A-I-D-T,
mm-hmm.
a social psychologist, whose point is we could get along with each other if we stopped doing what you guys have been doing all morning.
I'm sorry. We could get along with each other if we didn't argue?
No,
we didn't advocate? What are you saying?
We could get along if... I mean, 45% of the country, according to the polls, is going to vote for Donald Trump. Okay? So if you demonize 45% of the people in this country as, to quote Hillary, racist, sexist, xenophobic, homophobic, basket of deplorables. If you do that, there is no way to, what are you going to do with 45% of the country?
Wait a minute. I want to warn you, we've discussed this a lot, but you are very good at holding the attention of our audience for longer than most people do, and it's somewhat resented by a lot of people. However, accept that and think about how to structure your comments to be shorter. But okay. aside from that, it is entirely possible that a vast majority of the public can end up being in a society demonizing minorities, demonizing women, demonizing liberals or whatever, and really ending up being influential. We have many, many examples of that in current history as well as the past. So the question of whether or not we're doing something to make these people more crazy.
No, that's not what I'm saying. It's not what I'm trying to say, not what the article said.
Okay.
What I'm trying to say is this. You started the show by saying, I hope someone calls who's a Trump supporter who can tell us some rational version of why they would support Trump.
Okay.
Okay? I'm not a Trump supporter, particularly. But I do resonate with, I understand where these people are coming from. And what I'm saying is, if you look at them through a very uncharitable lens of, let's take the worst way we can construe all of their actions and characterize them that way and not even notice the positive things that are also attributes of them that make them think the way they think. And meanwhile, the other side is doing the same thing to you. That's a recipe for a civil war. And what the article said was, if we actually got to know each other, meaning you got to know them on a more human level, coming from both sides, maybe we could have something else other than a civil war, because no matter who wins today, and, you know, I'm sort of, my prayer is that we find out today who won, you know, but if we do that, if we both look at each other in the most, you know, both sides look at each other in the most uncharitable way possible, and the country is split, you know, almost 50-50, close to 50-50, that's going to be a civil war. Do you want a civil war? Your description of the Trump supporters all morning has been these miserable, racist, sexist. I mean, you know, where's that going to go if both sides are doing that about the other side?
Do you deny that that element exists amongst Trump supporters?
I don't deny that element exists, but it's not most of them.
Hmm. Well, what do you think most of them think? I mean, this is purely speculation because, as far as I know, no real serious sociological research has been done. We do know, and I want to quickly say this, we do know that a vast number of Americans who saw themselves as upwardly mobile and middle class and having good, well-paying jobs have suddenly discovered that's not so.
They think that a coherent set of rules that they like and that the country used to adhere to more are being adhered to less now, and they think, to the extent that there are actually rules that you could define, the new way that a lot of people want the country to run is really bad and should not go that way. And the rules they like, you know, are different from the rules you like, but they're not like, you know, the rule is we should hold down minorities or something like that. That's not where they're coming from.
It's not?
Really?
No.
That's what I said. The rule is we should build a wall on our southern border. Rule is we should exclude members of a major world faith from our country.
The problem I have with your argument is you got two choices amongst those people supporting Trump. They either are misinformed or poorly informed, and or they actually believe some things that I know a lot of people believe, which are fundamentally sexist, racist, homophobic, etc. It's real. It's actually real. And I take that to be something that I can validate just in my conversations with ordinary folks all over in Oregon, which is a kind of liberal place.
Well, if you're... you're talking to Trump supporters?
Yeah.
Validating that?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't not talk to Trump supporters.
I don't know where you find a Trump supporter around here.
Well, it's not that hard.
Listen, we're going to have to leave it there, Michael. Thank you for the call.
Thanks for the call. And, right. and Michael's making a plea for tolerance, I
think. Sure,
sure. Who can object?
I object.
Pamela writes into the Facebook page, I'm guessing that it could be months before the media stops hanging off Trump's every blessed pronouncement when so many of us are mightily tired of his voice. Yes, that is the other corollary to our earlier discussion. Should Trump lose, Trumpism will remain, and the man himself will probably continue to be a major media presence.
I think, yeah, and I think there's going to be a whole bunch of conspiracy theories around how he lost. It's going to be creepy, no matter what, but it would be a lot creepier, I suspect it would be a lot creepier if the thing goes in the direction of the way and the manner in which these alternate right people are thinking. And it's really dangerous. You know, Germany was a democracy prior to Hitler.
Yep. It was.
And we've seen this sort of thing a lot in a lot of places. When the Soviet Union collapsed, it was possible that Russia might have turned into a democracy.
Yeah. Many of the satellite Soviet republics did, in fact.
Yeah. So what we really have is a very creepy situation worldwide. Meanwhile, the environment is becoming degraded really fast. Capitalism is really out of control. I mean, there's a lot of real stuff. And what's distracting us... the kind of stuff that this election has involved, shouldn't have happened, but it's not preventable, apparently.
Yes. I would point out in that analogy you just made, however, or the observation you just made, Germany was a democracy before Hitler came along, but it was a very young democracy.
That's
democracy
true.
Had not been part of German political culture, really, ever prior to that point. That's a fundamentally different situation than we have here, where democracy, such as it is in this country, has been ingrained in our national psyche for a long time.
But notice what you said, such as it is.
Such as it is, yeah. I think no rational observer of our system can conclude anything but the fact that it has been extensively corroded by the influence of the wealthiest among us on the machinery of politics.
Well, okay, we're not going to disagree
All
on
right.
that.
Rebecca writes in... public service announcement, Multnomah County residents can drop ballots off at any Multnomah County Library branch, and there are 19 throughout the county. Go to multcolib.org.
Those are still
for
using?
Locations, yeah.
Oh, good. Okay.
Library staff love seeing everyone coming in with ballots. You can bring your kids and take selfies. Aww.
Oh.
See, that's a little bit
you
of that.
You can look at a book. You can have a good
time.
Well,
you're always bemoaning the lack of Election Day camaraderie, right? Vote by mail means you can't go down to the polls and gab with everybody. But you can go down to the library and drop off your ballot and gab with everybody.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. It's
you
nice.
Make me so happy.
I know. Let's go back to the phones. Harry, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. What can we do about the situation that's going on? Well, China is a one-party system. We are a two-party system, and any other party is inconsequential. But the Republican Party is now imploding.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because majority of the working class Republicans and middle class Republicans are suffering. And the Republican Party doesn't care. They put these people in for them to change the government, and they're doing nothing at all. Talking about a do-nothing Congress. They're just sitting on their hands. They're not really doing anything. So the Republican Party is imploding. This makes a good opportunity for progressives. So progressives to also enter the Republican Party. The progressives are mostly in Democratic Party. They need to be in both parties.
Hmm.
And this would make a big difference. They could see different people and thoughts and everything else and actually change the government this way. And another thing we can do is, for voters, is I call it the no incumbent movement, which means do not vote for incumbents. If you want to clean out the government, both parties and the government, don't vote for incumbents. Example, Boehnert, who was the House Speaker, he left after 25 years. Not after 26. He left early. Why? Because that means the Republican governor can pick his replacement, and incumbents have an 80-plus chance of winning. So So they kind of control that seat no matter what. But if everyone decided not to vote for incumbents, that means you only have one, that means they can't have very much power. A good example, Nancy Pelosi. Why is she still in power? I mean, in the Democratic Party, why is she still head of the Congress in the Democrat, even though she lost? We need new blood in there, and she's not going to leave because, well, she's part of the 1%. She's worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
I have to say that you can't. I don't believe it's a good idea to decide questions of who is electable and who should be in power based on how long they've been in power.
That or their money.
Well, no, you see, it doesn't work that way. I mean,
yes,
there
it does.
No, it doesn't. You can't say that Nancy Pelosi was a bad or is a bad legislator. Her history is pretty good, actually.
Well, yeah, but how are we going to have some new ideas come through? Don't get me wrong, she's a good legislature and stuff, but if we can get rid of everyone, I mean, you only have one term. A note that's called the no incumbent movement. I mean.
Oh, I see. Well, now that would be interesting, purely because you'd then have a government that could be easily manipulated by people that don't have to be worrying about one term. That is the power that be. Do you follow me?
No, because but if we can get other people in there that can change things, they're not right now. Right now, everyone in there is the one part of the 1%.
You're saying that a shift away from people who are hold on to power because of their connections to the wealthy and the well-connected, that's a fundamental rot on our system. And in order to make any sort of consequential progress, we need to clean house.
Yeah, and this is the only way to clean house.
Well, but it's
no
not
incumbents. If everyone, I mean, it can go both parties. I mean, if but you're Democrat
it's
or
like,
Republican, just when it goes to the primary. Don't vote for the incumbent.
Well, how about this?
Don't vote for it.
How about we pray for the Venusians to come from Venus and straighten everything out?
Oh, come on, Joe.
Well, it's got about as much likelihood.
No, but we can do this ourselves. We don't have to have a apparatus to do this. All Republicans, don't vote for incumbents. All Democrats, don't vote for incumbents.
Okay.
And within 10 years, we can clean out the government.
Okay, man.
Hey, thanks for the call.
Thanks for the
call.
Okay,
bye.
All right.
I favor the Venusians.
Yeah, well, all hail our new Venusian overlords. All right. Rolf writes in to the Facebook page, facebook.com/Dave and Joe. Two good things if Trump gets elected. First, KBOO will get more members. And second...
Well, that's true. I hadn't really thought about that.
And all the construction that's ruining Portland will come to a grinding halt.
Meaning we'll never get our own Trump Tower?
No, probably not. No.
Okay.
503-231-8187. It's election day. This has been a lively conversation. People are fired up today.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's election day.
Yeah. I just...
Yeah, I mean, if you don't get fired up for election day...
Right.
Well...
You know, there's always Super Bowl Sunday. All right, who's next? Gail, good morning.
Hi, how are you doing, Abe and Joe?
Fine, how are you, sir?
I really respect the both of you. Your show's amazing. It's the closest thing to an open public forum on radio.
Hey, thank you. That's high praise.
I think the first woman who called in, she nailed it. That Clinton appeals to the intellect and Trump appeals to the gut, almost like a Bush 2. And I think that in itself is the fundamental problem, that the intellect in this country has been vastly ignored forever. And this knee-jerk reactionary way of thinking is just a dead end.
Well,
and
go ahead. I'm sorry.
And how did we get here?
Well, actually, I have some ideas about how we got here, but
they all sound it's so obviously silly that it's almost preposterous that we're even staring down the barrel of this shotgun.
We have a system, beginning with an educational system that doesn't teach truth, doesn't teach real history, creates mythology, creates enormous mythologies, doesn't analyze power relations in the society, denies the realities of the economic system. I mean, all those things are real. And also at the same time, we have denial of sexism, denial of racism, denial of homophobia, denial of a whole bunch of things that isolate us from reality. When those realities are confronted, you discover a different way of thinking. And that's not happening because it's systematically designed currently not to let that happen. I mean, I can remember going way back when I was in a stupid contest to design a poster for Halloween in a school in Fallbrook, California, a town you probably never heard of. And
lifelong Portlander.
Okay. And I made an image of a graveyard with a couple of crosses. And the teacher said, oh, you can't have crosses because that's unchristian.
That's ridiculous.
Well, it may be ridiculous, but I didn't get to have my poster with crosses. The point I'm making is that arbitrary, ignorant positions are common in all sorts of situations. We don't even notice them. We just take them for granted.
I absolutely agree. And that is, if nothing else, that is what needs to change.
Once
people are aware of multiple, like, people are they bury their heads in their sand, and as soon as you try and show them a little bit of truth, they put another bucket on their head.
Well, but remember that my overarching argument is that it's not an accident that this ignorance exists, that we actually have structured a society designed to diffuse power and keep the people essentially in ignorance. I really believe that. And I think that's true, even though we have an excellent university system, decent high schools, and so on.
But isn't, like, that's what Trump's working on, is the emotional knee-jerk response?
Oh, yeah.
And it may be totally engineered into the system.
Well, but it's not a fake thing that people are finding themselves. Well, it's not, but remember, people are finding themselves seeing limits to their futures and bad situations for employment and education and so on. All those things are there, but all of them are structured to be there. They're not accidents.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Well, listen,
it's just a cry and shame, and I'll take myself off the air, but thank you guys.
Hey, appreciate the call. Thanks. Susan writes in to the Facebook page to say, the international reaction to the current U.S. presidential campaign is one which many, perhaps most Americans, are unaware. This election has attracted the attention of many around the world, most of whom are seemingly alarmed by the prospect of a Trump presidency, but also dismayed by the tenor and absence of civility in the 2016 race. Yesterday, our local newspaper, not sure where that is, published the next few lines written by Griff Witt, the Washington Post's London correspondent. People in small and distant countries who count on the U.S. to stand up for democratic values have been astonished to see the essential components of free press, the rule of law, respect for the outcome of elections, trammeled. Longstanding allies have been left to wonder whether the U.S. can be relied on when it counts. Adversaries have looked on with glee, surprised at how easily the country that casts itself as the greatest can be knocked off kilter. End quote. I have received two or three emails of late from an African friend in Botswana saying her and all her family are watching intently. She was most interested in my perspective as an American. She is concerned, as are many around the world, she says.
Well, I think it's concerning. I think it's valid. But what you're really seeing, and it's in a way, I won't say positive, but an interesting phenomenon, we're suddenly seeing the nakedness of a true American fascism, you know. And I think that that's something that, having reared its ugly head, is not going to go away very quickly. I think the alternate right, whatever you want to call it, is powerful. It appeals to people in all kinds of ways. And I can go look back at the time when there was a shift, an attempt at a shift following the Civil War to give African Americans the vote, or a time when women were struggling for the vote. And what you see in any of those cases, but particularly in the African American case, is a vicious, murderous, genocidal intent upon many ignorant people who should have known better, together with a lot of the ruling class of the South at that time, to destroy the people and the freedom of the people who now had gained the right to vote and had now gained citizenship. And it really worked. It really worked.
Mm-hmm.
So I have fear from our own history, not from Germany's history or Italy's history or Spain's history or China's history or something. I have real fear about the fragility of our system, which has never really achieved true democracy in the face of what's going on right now, makes me very, very scared. And I find it very agonizing to have to choose realistically between what I consider to be a warrior lady neocon and a crazy, insane, sexist, racist, and so on guy. It's very depressing.
It is, yes. Trevino Brings Plenty. I love that name.
Yeah, it's a good name.
Writes in to say, whoever is elected, I wish U.S. war, environmental pollution, and incarceration went public so I can invest and make money bigly.
But you can. You can. The prison industrial complex is a very wonderful opportunity to gain money if you don't care.
Yeah, and
you don't care.
You can invest in United Defense and Raytheon and a bunch of other companies.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
There's all kinds of polluters you can buy shares of stock in.
Well, that matter, you can buy. Terrible diamonds. You can buy awful ivory. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities to make money.
Rejoice, Trevino, for your dream is at hand.
I like Trevino a lot.
He has at the end of that JK.
Yeah.
Okay. And do you know what that means?
No.
Okay. I'm not going to tell you because it's one of those internet things and you don't seem to
care. Tell me.
No, I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, you can't be mean.
WTF, Joe. All right. Let's go back to the phones. Joel, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'd like to give a shout out to Trevino, who's actually a close personal friend of mine.
Hey.
And Joe, it means just kidding.
Okay, so, just kidding.
Thank you. Now I know. I don't have to ever go to the net. Ha.
OMG.
Hey, that's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
Never have to go. You're never having to go to the net. So a couple things. I think maybe one of your callers echoed this too. There's a lot of people I talk to. They're like, oh, I can't wait till this election is over. Folks, don't hold your breath. I don't think it's going to be over soon. I think there's going to be a lot of weird fallout from this. That,
well, I think you're right, actually.
It's going to be really bizarro. Also, we heard a discussion with you and a gentleman talking about Trump supporters and Clinton supporters actually talking to each other. On my bike ride to work the other day, I actually saw some people obviously having a conversation because the guy has a Trump sign out in front of his house. It's actually on his roof because he's in Portland, and that's where he has to put it, in Portland, so someone doesn't steal it or deface it. But they were actually having a conversation, and they weren't just shouting at each other.
Well, that's good.
So, you know,
I think dialogue, a little dialogue is always good. But yeah. I do think that, and this is really important, that we have a structural misunderstanding about the nature of our society. It's reinforced in the school systems. We think we are the most democratic of nations, but in actuality,
well, we're told that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and this kind of goes back to the guy that you were talking to before me, who called in, and he kind of is flirting with this sort of educational fascism. Maybe that's a little bit of a hyperbole there, but I really feel it's really important for educated people. He just sounded like he's really talking down to working class people, and I think there's nothing's going to change in this country until the working class can recognize its own interests. And despite Republican, Democrat, Hillary, Trump, whatever, begin to organize. And that's really all I want.
I think it's an obvious truth that we need a grassroots organizational structure that honors the working people of America, that insists on the very important fundamental things, such things as the rights of minorities, the rights of women, the rights of all sorts of people. And we don't have that, and we got to build that, and that's a struggle worth taking on. And I don't know how that all ends, but it's always best to hope for the best, unfortunately also to expect the worst.
I think that's in a nutshell what I'm sort of doing. But
it's an old Yiddish expression of all things.
A Yiddish expression?
Yeah, and I don't know Yiddish, so I can't say it.
I'll call my father-in-law. He'll be able to.
I'll bet he will.
Hey, listen, thank you for the call. Appreciate
it. Have a nice day.
All right, you too. You know what we need?
What do we need?
We need for today and every election day to be a national holiday.
Of course it should be a national holiday. And we should have 2 days to vote.
Yeah, we should.
We got like a Sunday-Monday thing.
Yeah, I totally agree. You got to wonder how many people are disenfranchised by default because they can't afford to take the time to go and cast a vote.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, man. I think that the process has been fought over for a long, long time. It's gotten sort of good, but not really good. And I really think that it should be a national holiday, and I think it should be it should be a reward. If you vote, you get a button.
All right. Well, we're close to the end here, but maybe we can squeeze in another phone call.
Real fast.
Super fast. No? Joe. Yeah. Got to be fast.
Okay. Joe, Abe, I wonder if you could both give a brief commentary on the fact that Hillary was largely responsible for ruining a progressive regime in Honduras. And her boss, Barack, apparently sat back and said, go ahead and do this, Hillary. Go ahead and ruin this regime because we really don't need democracy in Central America.
Oh, you have the advantage of we're at the end of the show and we can't talk about it. Cool. But he raises a good point.
Yes, he does.
Okay. And on that note, go vote.
Go vote, everyone. Thank you for taking part today. And thank you for persevering till the end of this horrible, horrible election.
Blah. Blah.
See you next week.
It's coming through a hole in the air from those Nazis.
On November 4th and November 18th, from 8 p.m. until 10, from the grassroots, where we agitate for social change with music and commentary, we will focus on Mr. Gil Scott-Heron. Gil Scott-Heron established the attitude and stylistic vocabulary of socially conscious music in America. His music was powerful. His lyrics relevant, and his voice beautiful. We will also submit a musical goodbye and a love letter to President Barack Obama. So join us from the grassroots, November 14th and November 18th from 8 to 10 p.m. on 90.7 FM KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Aftermath, part of the Brown Paper series produced by Triangle Productions. The play runs November 28th at 7 p.m. at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza in Portland. In Mary Burrell's 1919 one-act, John Thornton, a young black soldier who has served his country in World War I, comes home to rural South Carolina. His homecoming is disrupted when he learns